Hey, welcome to Ordinary Radicals. I'm Brandon Boatner with
Jonathan Hayashi.
We have a great show for you today.
As you know, the Ordinary Radical podcast is hosted by Jonathan Hayashi and a co-host,
Brandon Boatner.
Ordinary Radical is a podcast for discipleship and biblical living, featuring conversation Q&As concerning wide variety of topics to help you to grow as disciples through the local church with leadership, discipleship, and mission.
Who wrote that? That sounds fantastic. Did you write that?
I actually did.
You're just one smart guy. I love it. Wow. I love it.
Wow. Hey, good brownie points, bro. So thank you. So what is going on?
Well, there's a lot going on. This morning my wife came up and she said, hey, one of our kids had wet the bed. And here's the deal. Every time there's a lot of change in his life, he ends up struggling with that. He's a little guy. But there's a lot of change in our country, in our world going on right now.
And what is that?
Well, we have the coronavirus.
What?
You may call it COVID-19.
Okay.
That's the rich man's version of the coronavirus. So I call it coronavirus.
So, I mean, everybody know what the coronavirus is, right? I mean, like, what? I mean, how bad is it? I mean, for those listeners, I mean, what is going on?
Yeah, and we can look at different countries around the world and see how bad it can be. We can look at Italy and China. So we're trying to curtail that right now in our country. Sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, technically starting in January, like the Lunar Moon event, and then now it's been 2 months, and pretty much, I mean, they say, what, Disney World is closed?
Oh, it has to right? be. Absolutely.
And, I mean, NBA, I mean, it's like suspended conferences all around. I mean, like, if you look at New York right now, New York is shut down, California as well. Some of the other countries, I mean, there's rumors that people are saying like, hey, the martial law is going to come out and the president is going to say, shut down for 2 weeks. I mean,
it's possible. I mean,
it's a pretty big deal.
One of the guys in our church told me he was watching bowling on ESPN. Mm-hmm. If you get to watch the spot in your life where you have to watch bowling, it's getting pretty bad.
I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, some people say, well, this is just like 9/11. It's like, you know, Hurricane Katrina. And like for me, it's just like, no, at least for me, as far as I know, as long as I've been living, and like I ask people in ministry, I don't think we've ever faced something like a pandemic mm-hmm. like this.
Yeah, and you're a little bit younger than me, so I'm kind of curious. Like 9/11, is that a big?
Oh yeah, memory? Totally. I remember when 9/11 happened. I was folding the clothes. I was watching Pokemon and everything switch. I was really upset. I remember the airplane flying. But the thing is that some people say it's like 9/11. But for me, I feel like 9/11 happened. It was an extreme response of like shutdown of school and people went back to home. But it feels like, for me at least, it feels like 9/11 every single day. And what I think happened 9/11, it brought churches together, united in prayer,
right.
A wake up call. But this, we can't get together. I mean, President Trump just announced last week saying, hey, no more than 10 people gathering, right?
Mm-hmm. And my family has 6 people in it, so I can't be with anybody else.
Right? it's kind of like from The Office, like Michael is like, you know, like they're pointing fingers like, who's going to go? Who's going to go? Yeah. Who's in the family, right? Like, boom, boom, boom.
That's a good episode.
Great episode. So, oh man, I mean, so let's not act like the big elephant is not in, you know, pink elephant, like it's not in the room, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge deal, but I feel like this is how I feel like our society is responding. There's 2 major responses. One, they're extremely in fear and panic. For instance, like all the toilet paper is gone from Walmart, right?
All the toilet paper.
Costco, whatever. I mean, like my wife went shopping to Aldi yesterday and she said, you know, the cashier person, there's right now limits of 2 loaves of bread alone and this could get worse, right? Some a man got upset and threw the loaf of bread at the woman. I was like, my goodness, seriously? Mm. Or the other extreme, I feel like, is just kind of oblivious. You know, college students are in spring break right now and they're going to like, what, Florida and the beaches. And they're like, hey, nobody's going to tell me what to do. This is my life. So I'm going to go party in the bars and with my friends and clubbing. Right. And then
that's what teenagers sound like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what they sound like. Yeah. Right. Don't you think those are the 2 responses? Like, you know, people are majorly freaking out about it, or those are totally oblivious.
I think, yeah, someone said if whenever you say church is canceled, there's many people, especially in the South, and I'm from the South, so this is why it's in my head, that are like, church is canceled. Okay, but if you were to say the NFL season's canceled, they're gonna be like, what? You know, so yeah, there's that whole like, once it impacts me and impacts my life, it's just unacceptable. So I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna party and I'm gonna spend some time, you know, basically not caring about the elderly, not mm-hmm. caring about how this thing spreads, and it spreads like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So honestly, like, just for let's speak individually for Christians, you know, I think we shouldn't live with the spirit of timidity.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, the Lord has given us, I mean, you know, throughout scripture says, you know, God gives us a calm assurance because of his sovereignty, God's sovereignty. So Christians ought not to respond like the world, certainly. Okay. But however, though, you know, like, I'm young, you're young, you know, and, you know, we're healthy. We ought not to fear people and neglect loving our neighbors and, you know, serving the neglect and those right. who are weary. Right. So we shouldn't isolate ourselves in a sense, but because we're fearful. But what I'm fearful personally as a pastor is that I'm going to spread it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
I think about my neighbors because that's one of the first things I thought about when they were talking about how this spreads and who it could impact. You know, on this side, this lady's 60. On this side, there's a couple in their 70s. And across the street over here, a couple in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I could really ruin, you know, I could really hurt somebody by just being, you know, prideful and arrogant about myself and my health.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, in order to love our neighbors and to serve those who are the neglected, mm-hmm. you know, James chapter 1, I think we talked about this in the podcast, those are the widows.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most loving, wise thing to do, just like, you know, Matthew 10 verse 19 says, to be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. So we need to have a heart like a shepherd and to love people, but we need to be wise in how we approach people as we serve them. I think the best thing to do is, yeah, distancing ourselves and especially those, you know, who could be vulnerable, and that so far, number-wise, statistically are shown, the elderly are the most vulnerable. And I think for us Christians, you know, that's the wise thing to do in
right.
response.
But at the same time, you know, the elderly are the most vulnerable, but there are many young people that have still died from mm-hmm. this. And yep. so you're not invincible. That's mm-hmm. one of the things, you know, young people think that they're invincible mm-hmm. and you're not. You're not.
Yeah. So I don't think we need to panic and be anxious. But you know, as Peter says, you know, cast your anxiety unto the Lord because he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we ought not to respond like the world and see, you know, God's hand is in this. You know, do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Right.
In the Old Testament, it says. So we don't fear that way, but we shouldn't be oblivious and just say, oh, I don't care. You know, Jesus is with me. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
No, in order to, you know, Matthew 22, the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think Christians ought to respond in, you know, not in fear, but in wisdom and to have discernment. And I think that's hard. And I think as for Christians, we ought to be praying for churches, clergies, and pastors because they're having to make some really, really tough calls.
Yeah, the calls that have been made are things that have not ever been made in the past because we've never had social media and the ability to do what we can do today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so absolutely, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like we took a seminary class and was like, how to lead your church through a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is all new to us, so we ought to be thinking about our pastors and our leaders and just pray that God would give them, you know, discernment, you know, you know, from the Holy Spirit, you know, and through his scripture. I think that's huge. I guess one of the questions then, you know, again, we talked about the coronavirus and people are like, what? Right? But I think specifically for church as a whole, I'm not talking about just Christians individually, but I'm talking as a church as a whole. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, we can't, we're discouraged to meet less than 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
CDC said less than 50. What about if your congregation is larger than that? Like, what can we practically do now? Is everything church is shut down? What should we do? I mean, what would you say, Brandon?
Well, there's two sides, right? There's the one side that says, hey, let's follow what the law of the land has said to do, and our president has said less than 10. Very few churches that I know of are less than 10. And so that would disband churches, right? It doesn't mean you stop being the church. But then I do know people, I know some pastors who I don't agree with this, but they said, no, we're going to meet. We're going to go against what the laws have said and what the authorities have said. But I believe you have a verse that kind of leans into that, don't you?
Yeah, so I think we're in a dilemma, aren't we? So mm-hmm. like Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not neglect the assembly of the believers. So there's one side, you know, even I was just in a meeting with a bunch of young leaders throughout the United States. There was about 150 of them. And then some people are being threatened, like, pastor, if you cancel our service, we're going to fire you because yeah. you're disregarding the biblical mandate to not neglect the assembly of the believers. But then on the other hand, we do have Romans chapter 13, verse 1, which says, let everyone submit to governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are instituted by God. So, you know, like,
I would say that the Hebrews passage you're talking about was taken. They're taking that out of context, first of all, mm-hmm. because, you know, we kind of talked about this, but no one is forsaking meeting together. We want to be together. But desperate times call for, you know, unique modes of delivering the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing, right? Mm-hmm. And perhaps we've become so accustomed and so tied to a building that we no longer know how to be the church outside of four walls.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like to me it's a unique opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, just a unique opportunity for the churches to think and deliver and to care for one another and to love one another, you know, and a new opportunity. I don't think these are closed doors. I think it's open doors.
Yeah.
In a time such as this.
Yeah. You know, I've heard many sermons lately, and there's a thread that goes through all these, and it is that God has forced us to slow down so that we might look at our lives and see where our priorities have been. Right. And for me, I can't speak for anybody listening, but for me, I'm looking at my life and saying, have I been the best godly father that I can be? Because right now I have an opportunity to teach the Bible like I've never have to my family. You know, am I being the best husband? Am I being the best neighbor that I can be? Because I'm a substitute teacher. And so that's all off the table. There's some extra time on my plate right now where I can reevaluate life. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I do think it's not ideal, right? I mean, right. This is not the ideal way to think about what the doctrine of the church is. I mean, like, throughout the pastor's scriptures, like Acts 2:41, the followers were baptized and they're identified to a local church. Mm-hmm. So we need to be identified to a certain set of believers. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, church is a body. A body can't exist without its members. And it's just hard. It's hard for us mm-hmm. to not meet in person. I mean, let's admit it. Like, it's different on a live stream. I mean, you don't get to hear the singing of the people. I'm going to miss that, honestly.
Right, right.
And, you know, and encouraging, spurring on one another. And, you know, the church, you know, again, Hebrews we read, we must regularly meet. You know, some right. people say, you know, like, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been part of church for 30 years. I don't know. It's kind of like you're saying, I'm married to my wife, but I haven't seen my wife for 30 years.
Yeah, you there's know? Definitely that side.
Yeah, there's that side to it. And
But that person's also not going to tune into a live stream.
That's true.
They're going to sleep in like they have been doing on Sundays.
Yeah. So, again, this is not ideal. But again, I think it's pushing our churches for great opportunities, to let our light shine, and great opportunities to cherish and to love, and even, you know, to pray that the Lord would come back, you know, quickly.
Right,
you
right. know,
because it is a trial. It is a testing. It is tribulations, I would say, you know, mm-hmm. but through those times, as James would say, you know, do not consider like these neglect, but the testing of your faith would produce perseverance.
Right.
And the Romans would say suffering produces perseverance, character, then hope, and hope would not, you know, let you down. Right. So I think we could be hopeful. I don't think we have to be hopeless like the world is, but the word gives us some great encouragement and great hope. But I guess like for small, maybe rural churches, or, you know, churches that have been in existence for many years, you may be asking, So, okay, Jonathan, there's enough articles out there. There's enough resources out right. there. Talk about place your hope in Jesus. Do not be anxious. But practically, what are we supposed to do as a church mm-hmm. in order to respond to this pandemic called the coronavirus or COVID-19? And what can we do in order to still encourage the saints to be faithful, the faith that's been delivered to once and all for all the saints, and continue to minister by the preaching of God's word and the hearing of God's word to know Christ and to make him know?
Yeah, it really depends on how rural the context is, right?
Yeah, true.
So one of the things that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of pastors doing this, we're doing this, is that we're dividing up the people in our church and we're calling them mm-hmm. once a week. And mm-hmm. so for the first time in a while, everybody can expect to get a call, to be loved, to feel known, and to feel valued. So, I mean, that's simple. Most people have a phone, mm-hmm. right? So that's one way still to be church and to have ministry.
Yeah. So you may have heard already in the podcast, but we talked about live streaming.
Live streaming, yeah.
I think that's a great way. You just recorded your sermon mm-hmm. for the church, and it doesn't even have to be live. Again, some maybe seasoned members who are listening to this, you're like, what's live stream? It's just in real life streaming through the internet or the web. That you're showing, so it feels like it's real time, real action meeting. But you also could record your sermons, right?
I record mine ahead of time so that I can just edit some things into them, slides mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And if you just have an iPhone, you can record with fairly good, content. It works well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think you necessarily need to meet in your church building. No. Some people feel pressured. Oh, I got to do this. Acoustic wouldn't sound nice. Honestly, if you're a clergy and you're kind of feeling lost, I would just encourage you, take out a laptop and then mm-hmm. just begin to record with your camera on your computer. I think that's good enough. And do it in your living room, and just even 5-minute encouragement, praying over a video. I guarantee you it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel your pews filled and you're preaching, but I just want to encourage you to preach your heart out and to share the gospel, because this is a new way of doing it. It's going to feel weird if you've been preaching for years doing this, but I think that's better than not doing anything and providing resource for your flock.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of churches. I don't know where you're listening from in your area, but one of the great things I've seen in our area is churches who have the means have said, come in and use our stuff. Come in and use our equipment, and we will let you record. I'm thinking of Grace River and some other mm-hmm. churches, and I'm just so thankful for those guys. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of unity in churches actually coming yeah. together.
Right. Yeah, our churches met, in Lincoln County area. Bunch of churches gathered together. We made a studio. We wanted a more intimate look. Mm-hmm. So we said, hey, if you need a recording place, you need a place to do a service, feel free to come to our churches. And this is like across denominational lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
That churches are gathering together, united, and trying to help one another. So I'm honestly encouraged, Brandon, to see, how the Lord's encouraging and doing. And, just so listeners, we're going to provide resources. It's going to be all in the show notes. I think Southeast Baptist Theological Seminary as well has some training available online that we'll put some links to it in our show notes that's going to coach you and help you how to implement it free of charge, I believe.
There's a lot of free of charge stuff right now. You talked about Lifeway, right? Lifeway has some tithing options and some stuff I think that's free of charge.
Yeah, so honestly, I know I was just in a meeting this morning as well via Zoom, and we'll leave this in the show notes so you can see this. Online giving. If you're not familiar, you're kind of like old school, are people just, 80%, 90%, Jonathan, it's people actually putting in the offering plate. Mm-hmm. And we're just concerned because we're not going to be meeting. I think that's a legitimate concern.
Absolutely,
yeah. I would just say, right now, I think Lifeway, I just saw a couple of days ago, is giving free of charge resource for your churches to give through online giving. So we'll provide that on the show notes as well. I think that would be very, very helpful.
Absolutely, man.
So also, I think you may be thinking, well, we have the Sunday morning corporate gathering of live stream. Check. We got that. Maybe we got the music guy doing some songs as well. So they're leading in worship corporately in their, you know, so they're watching, like having a watch party. You can do that not only via Facebook, you can do that via YouTube as well, and different streaming services.
Or there's like Zoom and different, phone type services too. And mm-hmm. some of those you can have up to like 100 people on there.
Yeah, and free of charge.
It's all free.
Yeah. All for free. So if you want to do your small groups for student ministries, I'll encourage you to do that. I think a lot of, you know, we know at least our entities or seminaries like Southern Seminary, Midwestern Seminary, Gateway Seminary, all of those went to online. And not only seminaries, I believe a lot of universities and a lot of Bible college or just, you know, community schools have gone to web, and they provided Zoom and other stuff, Canvas.
And even some schools have either gone online or now they are providing resources. Or one of the things that I've seen, we have a lot of teachers in my church. And like my wife's a teacher, and she's given free resources out to anybody that needs help, mm-hmm. you know, with her expertise. And all of a sudden you see the church actually loving each other's kids. That's really a great thing. So what are some more resources?
So I would say, like, you know, for children, like, how do you do family devotion? I think that's good. I think there's a lot of great stuff like D6 Ministry, which is based on Deuteronomy 6, how to train up a child in the way that he should go. And, you know, there's a lot of great articles, resource, family devotions that, you know, can help you, you know, reading your Bible, praying for your children and stuff like that. So, you know, my wife and I, you know, what we do during lunchtime, we read a systematic theology book to our daughter during lunchtime.
That's so you.
No, it's so awesome. You. But I mean, it looks overwhelming when you look at it, honestly. Yeah. But it's called Everything a Child Should Know About God.
Oh, it's not Wayne Grudem's systematic
theology. No, it's not Wayne Grudem's. Yeah. But when you talk about systematic theology, you're talking about, you know, doctrine of Christology, which is the doctrine of Christ. So, you know, my daughter and I, we're going through, okay, who is Christ? And, you know, his deity, his nature, his attribute, and his work, his accomplishments, substitutionary atonement, all these things covers in that book. And just practically, like, read one page at a time and just go over and talking about doctrine of pneumatology, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, just so you know, she's a 4-year-old and she's understanding all these things. So, like, those kind of things are good. You know, the Gospel Coalition came out several years ago called the New City Catechism. Mm-hmm. There's an app that's, you know, free of charge with children. So my daughter and I, we go through it every morning, and there's about 52. We just finished it this morning. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you know, what is the church? What is prayer? Can we add anything to the atoning work of Christ? And we sing together. There's a song that goes along with it, and it's pretty incredible. The New City Catechism is along with the Heidelberg Catechism. So it's very, you know, biblically saturated, scripturally faithful, theologically rigorous. But it's for children and families that will help you. So there's some resources I use. I don't know if there's some stuff you
encourage. Yeah, you know, there's some stuff that's a little bit more dumbed down than the catechisms for people like me. Like, I just go on YouTube, and, you know, there's things on YouTube, like the Bible Project is super simple. Mm-hmm. Watch a video. The video says what a whole book is about. It gives mm-hmm. you the heart of it. And, you know, watch that with your kids. Watch that with your teenagers. And then go in and start reading. It has shown you what it's about. Or I know a lot of churches, and you know, I think there's always this fear of, I don't want my people going to another church. But you know what? If they have some good stuff there, why not use their resources? So I know some churches that are doing this thing where they have a kids study on their website. Underneath it, they have some worship music. Underneath it, they have a sermon. You can go in there and you can kind of see what they're doing and you know, use some of those things too. That's fine. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and also like again, we just provided like kind of outside resources that people already have created that are just really good, mm-hmm. really good stuff that's gospel centrality, that's filled with, you know, Christ-centered resources. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I would just encourage you to, you know, get a tripod. You know, we have a tripod in front of us, and, you know, just get an iPhone or smartphone, you know, or Android, and just film yourself for 5 minutes. I know it'll feel odd if you're doing it for the first time, but just, you know, as if you're speaking to your students, you know, for student ministry, you know, provide a 5-minute devotion.
Talk so this is something. For student pastors, right?
You're talking about student pastors. Or even okay. children's director, children's ministers. You know, just if you're leading your Sunday school or your small group.
Because the thing is, they're gonna miss seeing your face. Mm-hmm. The more continuity that you have for a child's life, the better they're gonna learn.
Yes.
Right? So they're gonna miss seeing your face. So mm-hmm. why not a little 5-minute video that you could send them or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, let's talk about, you know, to worship leaders. You know, maybe you're engaging with you know students and children with music, and you know perhaps even Vacation Bible School VBS is gonna be canceled if this coronavirus is gonna continue on. I would just encourage you, you know, look at resources like Lifeway Kids. You know, there's songs that my daughters, we love to sing and dance. It's called the Rent Collective, your Renko Kids.
That's a good one.
That's a great one. And there's a lot, it just talks about the story of the Old Testament and scripture and talks about Bible verses. It's a great opportunity for you to memorize 66 of the Bible as well. So, you know, just be creative and have fun. You know, have fun and be creative with your children. If you're passionate, you're loving it, your kids are going to see it and they're going to catch up on that.
Yeah, and in the vein of worship, you might even take a worship song that is biblically centric, however you say it, mm-hmm. And you may break that apart, because if your kids know those and they have those words already in their heart, mm-hmm. show them where it comes in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, you could walk through a song with them. Mm-hmm. Whenever we sing Glorious Day, You Call My Name and I Ran Out of That Grave, I have a son that loves. He's singing, I ran out of that grave. And, you know, you want to show him maybe the story of Lazarus, maybe how we are made new in Christ, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and, you know, Martin Luther said, you know, music is a noble gift of God next to theology. You may be saying, well, Jonathan Brandon, I'm not a music guy.
Yeah.
But, my goodness, your kids, they memorize scripture. So like, I love, you know, Shane and Shane and one of their songs called Psalm 46. It's really directly out of the scripture, you know. So, you know, maybe, you know, you would take out a guitar. Well, I don't play guitar. Well, worship leaders, take out a guitar and take a video 5 minutes and share it on your, you know, Facebook church, you know, church page. And share just a brief devotion, maybe read a scripture, and then just lead them in singing. And that's encouraging as well.
Yeah, and let's say you're not a pastor, you're not a minister. You can still be in the Word, and you can still record some stuff and post it to the Facebook page of your church, right? Mm-hmm. That's always encouraging whenever I click on it and I see, oh, so-and-so, oh, she's reading here. And, you know, oftentimes that might be something that I needed to hear or something I recently studied, or, you know, God just, He ties everything together when we allow ourselves to be used.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's pretty encouraging, Brandon, that I heard is that when people started doing live stream, you know, our church met last Sunday. Did your church meet last Sunday?
Yes, we did last Sunday.
So last Sunday morning we did. We canceled Sunday night and we are not meeting for this Sunday that's coming.
Right.
But I'm hearing churches that are smaller are getting way more views than their regular attendance. So, you know, don't, you know, look at this video as a small little thing. You're thinking like, who's going to watch this video? Well, I think a lot of people will watch the video and they will be encouraged like, whoa, people are reading the scripture. He can do it. She can do it. I can do it. Right.
Yeah. I was looking. So I made a video last Sunday as well. And I was looking at who checked it out. And, you know, it wasn't 200 people, but what it was a guy from Texas, a guy from this place. And I'm just like, how far reaching has that sermon gone mm-hmm. that it would have never gone if I just kept it within the four walls? Mm-hmm. Right. So there's power in that media.
Yeah, yeah. So some people say, you know, I remember somebody said, you know, Jonathan, you're reading your scripture out of your smartphone. You're playing the devil's playground.
I was like, that's the same voice you have for Spring Breakers. Do you know that? You gotta be careful. See some more accents, man.
Okay, I gotta put my like British accent, right? Stop being silly. Maybe not quite. Okay, sorry.
You need some tea and crumpets.
But seriously, like, technology is not evil.
No.
And I think sometimes people think, well, you know, technology, internet is bad, so I'm not going to look at it. Wow. Just think about just like what Brandon talked about. Just the opportunity to reach 1,000 more.
Yeah.
Beyond the four walls and take the gospel to, you know, let's say Senegal, Africa. You know, taking it all the way to, you know, in China, taking it all the way somewhere in Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, people are watching and they're curious. And wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for us. As, you know, Matthew 5:19 says, therefore let your light shine so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And we can do that right now as a church.
Yeah, and I want to add one more thing, and this is, you know, whenever I think of the music scene, I see what kind of songs are coming out, and those songs often talk about what's going on in the world or a generation, right? Songs recently have been about God's my protector, my refuge, I love him, those types of things. All of a sudden, we're going to have all these social media sermons, and I have a feeling anybody who's preaching the Bible, we're all, many of us are going to have a similar thought process because the Holy Spirit's speaking through us, right? And so don't feel like someone has to tune into you in order to hear God's word. I have a feeling the Holy Spirit's going to work just fine in all the voices across the social media platforms.
Mm-hmm. Amen and amen. Yeah, I just want to encourage as we're coming to a close, you know, just be praying. Just be praying for God's church, his people will have a calm assurance in God's sovereignty in the time. And let's be praying for healing for those who are affected.
Yeah, absolutely.
Loved ones, people all across the world. And then also just be praying for gospel advancement. God will use somehow this for his own glory. What people meant for evil, that will turn out good.
Right.
And you know, God's not surprised by this. You know, God's like, whoa, I didn't see this coming. This is a reality. God's omniscience has no bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And God sees it coming. And so for us as a Christian, as believers, as followers of Christ, need to respond not in fear, but in faith at this time.
Yeah.
And in prayer and supplication. So just be, you know, lifting prayers and supplication unto the Lord, giving thanks to him. And the peace of Christ will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. That's the truth and the reality.
Amen to that, man. Amen to that. Well, I think that kind of finishes us out today. What do you think?
Yep. I think that's it. So thank you for listening and, you know, listeners. And if you enjoyed the show, you know, go ahead and share it on your social media platform, whether Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, so forth. And give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. That'd be great.
Absolutely. And there's just the two of us right now in the studio. So we'll be able to keep making these podcasts as long as we aren't homebound, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we'll keep making them for you. You have something to listen to. And yeah, we're just so thankful for you guys.
All right. Well, hope you guys have a good one. Enjoy the quarantine. To God be the glory.
I usually say peace and you usually say ciao.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, well, let's do that. Peace out. Oh, wait, you got to say peace.
Peace.
Ciao.